It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth
and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Well, on Wednesday, we talked with Kristen B. Tate. She's got a takedown of Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York State that you do not want to miss. That's coming up in the next segment. But we start with some very important analysis of the border wall on legal grounds with Sean Davis from The Federalist. Stay with us.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
They would put him into the Ninth Circuit. That's where they put him in. And I think we'll do very well. We have absolute right to do that. I have an absolute right to call national security. We need strong borders.
That's the president yesterday. Let me just expound on something he said there, though, because I think that he may have a better sense of this than what even the media thinks. Of course, they're going to say, oh, well, he said he's going to send it to the Ninth Circuit. We all kind of have that thing in the back of our head. Yeah, the Ninth Circuit, the crazy circus court, most overturned, et cetera, et cetera. And he even made reference to this on the day that he announced the emergency. He said, well, it'll go from there to the Supreme Court and then we'll get the good ruling. I wouldn't be so sure that he doesn't get a good ruling in the Ninth Circuit for some of the reasons that we're going to discuss with my first guest today. But I just want to put this placeholder in your mind. On the Monday before the National Declaration of the Emergency, it was the Ninth Circuit that said that DHS has broad-reaching authority to build walls. Now, they were dealing with an issue of appropriation that had already been appropriated. But you still had all these people suing them saying, no, they can't do that. It's a lot of the same arguments that these groups or these states are making now before the court as to why they're suing them. Anyway, Sean Davis is the co-founder of one of my favorite websites. And I say that even though I write they are a competitor to where my column is at townhall.com. But The Federalist is one of those groups that you should be reading every single day. You should be getting the e-blast in your inbox. You are going to be reading some of the best commentary and best analysis of today's news every single day. And they provide that for free. Just sign up at the website. But Sean Davis is his name. And we've never had the honor of having him on, but I'm sure grateful to have him with us today. Sean, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio and welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin.
So a lot of people don't know that that court, the Ninth Circuit, decided in favor of DHS having broad border broad discretion to build border barriers. It's not really a direct precedent case as it relates to what these lawsuits would be based on going forward. But your piece in The Federalist yesterday pretty much laid out two main pillars as to why the president is on firm legal ground. Where do you think this 16-state lawsuit goes?
So I come at this from the perspective of someone who worked on appropriations law in the Senate for several years. I was the main appropriations guy for Senator Tom Coburn, one of the few true fiscal hawks in Congress when he was there. And so I have a fair amount of familiarity with the process. And it comes down to two things. Number one, back in 2006, Congress by pretty overwhelming vote margins, enacted the Secure Fence Act of 2006. And what that law did is it required the Secretary of Homeland Security to take all necessary action to secure the border up to and including building physical barriers, if necessary, from the Pacific to the Gulf. So basically from California to Mexico. And what that law defined as control or a secure border was that there were zero unlawful entries, whether that was goods or people or whatever you can imagine. That law requires zero unlawful entries across the border and requires DHS to build a wall to make that happen. So fast forward to Trump. He sees that situation. he sees that his Homeland Security secretary has asked the military, please come help me. I'm having a very difficult time fulfilling the requirements of this 2006 law. I need military help. The Department of Defense responds. And when Congress refused to give regular appropriations towards the funding wall, Trump said, look, there's a bunch of these laws out there that allow me to declare an emergency, to use already appropriated military construction or Army Corps civil engineers money towards this requirement that a wall be built. And that's what he did. It's not like what many people say, akin to, well, what if Kamala Harris said, I declare a gun emergency and I'm banning all the guns. This is a very narrow area of federal appropriations law that will be narrowly decided, and I don't think it's a particularly close call.
Well, and that's interesting, given the fact that the public speak about this has been so broadly misrepresentative of the actual legal questions in play. I mean, you really narrowed it down in your column to the 1976 issue of does he have the authority to do that? That's without question. And then once he's declared it, can he then move within that space that is limited to do what is necessary? And it seems like there's a lot of support there.
There are. It goes back to this 1976 law, the National Emergencies Act, which at the time was trying to rein in presidential use of extraordinary authority in the event of an emergency. And so what Congress said is, no, you can declare emergencies, but when you do so, we're going to only let you operate within this small box. And with regard to what Trump's doing now, what they said was, look, if you declare an emergency, which we authorize you to do, and you decide that the military is necessary to respond to this emergency, which you as commander-in-chief of the armed forces have sole authority to do, then we are going to allow you to use money we have already appropriated for military construction to go and respond to this emergency. And so that's what Trump did. He's not appropriating new money. He's not taking money that has out of some magical pot somewhere in contravention of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution. He is working within the confines of the appropriations regime, which Congress has created, that says you can declare an emergency. If you decide that the military is needed, you may use this amount of money from this particular pot to go do what you need to do. And as of last September, I think within that military construction account, there was about $13.3 billion that hadn't yet been obligated. So that would represent the ceiling of amount of money that Trump could go use to build a wall in this fiscal year.
Which is way more than he's asked for. And actually, Sean, maybe you can help break this down. I've heard that really the lawsuit only addresses about $3.6 billion of the $8 billion total, because nobody questions the discretion that he's using for the other five.
Right. And you know, I've read all the legal arguments on it. I think a lot of people are mistaking the question of should he do this with can he do this? And they've decided in their minds, no, he shouldn't do it. And therefore, we're going to make these tortured legal arguments as to why he can't do it. And on the right in particular, there's an emerge class of pundit who doesn't really care about the secure border, doesn't really want a fence, but they don't actually have the fortitude to come out and oppose the outcome. So instead, they build these arguments around the process, and they're all fairly in many cases they're disingenuous, they're made in bad faith, but most important, they're wrong. And so they wrap up their opposition to the outcome with language about their alleged opposition to the process. But as we've discussed and as I analyzed by looking at all these laws based on my experience working on federal appropriations law, it's not a close case. For any other president, it's not a close case, which is why Obama and Bush between 2001 and 2014 used this exact same authority 18 different times.
Yeah. Well, didn't they build the
appropriated money?
Didn't they build structures like within the green zone and other places that they totally fit the same kind of description? You know, they were used for the defense of our nation. They were appropriated for military, and it was the president that decided where those things went. And my question is, if we're building structures in other countries to help them defend their borders, what in the world is wrong with us building a wall on our border to defend ourselves?
Well, you said it, and it shows what a lot of people apparently view as what constitutes an American interest and what doesn't. And regardless of how you felt about the wars or in Iraq or Afghanistan, the president, while those were ongoing, said, you know what, for our own security and for the security of the people we're trying to protect in all these foreign nations, I'm going to declare an emergency to move money from this project A to this project B that I think we need to do right now. And I particularly find it absurd for people to argue, you know what, it's absolutely an emergency and in the security interests of the American people to secure foreign borders overseas, but it's absolutely in no way an American national security interest or emergency to secure our borders here at home. Yeah. I just find that an utterly absurd argument.
Disingenuous at the very least. Sean Davis is the co-founder of The Federalist. And friends, he has one of the wittiest and most biting Twitter feeds that you can follow on Twitter. And Sean, please come back and spend more time with us at Kevin McCullough Radio. Huge fan of what you guys are accomplishing and want to be a part of fighting the good fight together.
This is a pleasure. I'd love to come on whenever you'll have me, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Coming up, we've got Kristen B. Tate from The Hill, also Shelley Goldberg and others. Before we're done, it's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It is snowing and 29 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. I don't care where you are in the tri-state. Wipers on, lights on, slow down and take it easy out there. It's all on the Cross Bronx eastbound of the Sheridan Expressway, blocks the right lane. Hudson River Crossing's not too bad into and out of the city, but watch out. The outbound Lincoln Tunnel at Pleasant 495 and Pleasant Avenue is stalled, has the right lane blocked. Better news in New Jersey, the ramp is good to go. They fixed the traffic lights. Everything's open on the parkway south and at Vauxhall Road. Flipped over car, 280 eastbound at exit at 80. That has two lanes blocked. Crash on 78 eastbound at exit 24. Crash on 78 eastbound at exit 41. 35, please, on the Tappan Zee with the weather. Injury accident in Yonkers on the thruway southbound near Stu Leonard's. And watch out for a crash on Long Island on the Northern State Eastbound at New Hyde Park Road in the left lane. Be careful out there. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11. The Stand With Israel tour with Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher is happening December 2nd through the 11th of 2019. Join AM 970 The Answer for a 10-day expedition to the Holy Land that will change your life. You'll get timely insights into Israel's fascinating past, dynamic present, and promising future. Experience the Western Wall, modern Tel Aviv, the Dead Sea, and so much more. All in the comfort and safety of first-class accommodations. December 2nd through the 11th, 2019. Register today. Visit am970theanswer.com.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce. And no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you. The all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Available soon.
This is what flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
And basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year. I know, right? Do you think I say I know right too often? I do. I know, right? I have to stop, don't I? I know,
and this
right?
is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle. Yeah, even our commercials are better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970. TheAnswer.com.
Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now, God forbid the rich leave.
Well, imagine that would happen. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. It's a big, busy Wednesday. Stay safe. I know that that weather is just not nice. But we're thankful that you're with us today just the same. Kristen B. Tate is with us on Wednesdays. She gives us her Tate's take on any number of things. But the reason we played that soundbite for you, Kristen, is because that is Andrew Cuomo, who said he did exactly what everyone thought he was going to do. And lo and behold, people are leaving the state. You've written about this in your most recent piece for The Hill.
Yep, that's exactly right. So Cuomo was shocked about a surprise dip in tax revenue. Now there's a budget deficit, and he was shocked to learn that New Yorkers' high earners are fleeing the state. They were already fleeing the state, but the recent tax bill passed by Trump last year only sped up the exodus because, of course, now high earners can't deduct their state and local taxes. So New York is in a tough position, and right now people like Cuomo are blaming low-tax jurisdictions like Florida for stealing the residents from New York rather than asking, what is New York doing to cause this problem?
Well, that's the thing, Kristen. And these high-tax Democrats never seem to learn. Like Ocasio-Cortez is defending her whole position on Amazon today. And I know you and I disagreed on the tenets of Amazon, but or the basic premise of it. But she's saying that she's ignorant of economic policy. She doesn't understand that there wasn't a $3 billion check of Treasury from the state of New York that they were going to give to somebody. And now she's also lost the jobs and the $27 billion in revenue that were going to come with it. It's like they push so hard for these positions and these policies that they hold, and then they're shocked when there's adverse consequences from them. And Andrew Cuomo, when he came to office, he was like, hey, I'll do the 10-year tax-free plan for new companies. Nobody bought that. And now everyone that's had the opportunity to has left because of the tax policies.
Yep, that's exactly right. Now, I will say, I think the Amazon deal is sort of different because New York has become increasingly reliant on giving targeted subsidies, really corporate subsidies, to large companies because the political and economic environment just doesn't make a lot of sense for many corporations. Last year, I think New York gave out more than $10 billion in targeted subsidies to corporations, which is more than any other state. So they're really using those subsidies. And yes, tax breaks are subsidies as a crutch to offset the many downsides, both economic and cultural downsides of being in New York. But in the case of Amazon, they decided, hey, it's still not worth it for us. This is too hostile an environment. So I think Amazon probably saved itself a big headache. I mean, there was a day, Kevin, when every major company had to have a presence in New York City. But those days just have gone.
Sure.
The prestige of being in New York has dropped. And as that's happened, the state has just relied more and more on these subsidies, but it's increasingly not working.
Well, the challenge there is going to be what you said about Cuomo's position. If you have taxed the rich as much as you can and they are leaving, you cannot tax the remainder of the citizenry enough to make up for the shortfall. So something has to give. There's going to have to be a fundamental change in how the government views what it does in New York State. And Kristen, that looks like a lot of pain for a lot of people in the days to come.
You're exactly right. And meanwhile, as the state is increasingly reliant on taxing high earners, the number of people who aren't paying into the system has exploded. Under de Blasio, over the last year, we have 13,000 new people in New York City who are reliant on city welfare and other forms of government welfare. So we have an exploding class of people who are not paying into the system in New York. And then, of course, the mayor also has proposed a universal health care system in New York City, too, that would benefit illegal immigrants. And meanwhile, they're becoming increasingly reliant on taxing high earners who are fleeing. So it's a very bad situation. And I hope the constituents in New York will be smart enough to vote these tax and spend liberals out of office. The best part of removing the SALT deductions is that these states are now being held accountable for high taxes.
Exactly.
They get away with high taxes for a long time because their constituents were writing those state and local taxes off on their federal tax returns. But now they're being held accountable for their taxing.
Well, and the interesting thing about that, Kristen, is that you're exactly right on this level that there should have been, from the beginning of the tax reform debate, this kind of realization that New York, New Jersey, California, Washington State, that these places had been basically double dipping with their residents, making them pay twice as much. They tried to blame it on Trump. They may have been successful on some level of blaming it on Trump. But the real problem is you're spending more money than you can take in on the state level, and you can't continue to do that. You can't promise the world, and it's not even good for you to.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So the only hope, I think, for New York City to grow its economic activity in terms of corporations and high earners is to make a more sustainable business environment, which means getting rid of the red tape, slashing taxes, and making life more enjoyable and affordable for not just high earners, but right, middle-class families as well. Otherwise, I think this exodus will continue.
What they fail to realize is if they did slash taxes and you created an environment in which all businesses paid less taxes, and maybe you got to the point where, like in some states, businesses don't pay any taxes, you would attract such ferocious activity. Like, there would be such a voracity to the amount of companies that would want to come, because there's still a prestige to doing business in New York. But you go this other route and you're just bankrupting everybody.
Yep. And as the high earners flee, I'm telling you, the prestige is going to continue to drop. It, especially with technology, you really don't have to be in New York anymore. So people are searching for greener pastures where they can save more of their money and have a better quality of life.
It's a very tough reality that New York faces. Kristen B. Tate wrote about it in The Hill. You should check that out. You should also check out her most recent book, How Do I Tax the A Field Guide to the Great American Ripoff? You paying hidden taxes all over the place. She exposes how. Kristen, thanks for Tate's take, and we'll talk to you again next week. This is Kevin McCullough Radio.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Still snowing in 29 in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. President Trump says it's not his call as to what happens once special counsel Robert Mueller submits a final report. Talking with reporters at the White House earlier today, Trump said that decision is totally up to Attorney General William Barr. There are reports that Mueller could finish the work on the Russian investigation as early as next week. Thousands and thousands of flights have been grounded as a major winter storm pounds most of the country. FlightAware reporting more than 2,000 canceled flights and over 3,100 delays nationwide. Empire actor Jesse Smollett, who says he was attacked in a hate crime in Chicago, well, he's facing more scrutiny. Miguel Almaguer with more.
Ola and Abel Osundairo, whose sources say already told police the actor hired them to stage what he would later call a hate crime, could be asked to testify in front of a grand jury. The new developments come as law enforcement officials tell NBC News Smollett is no victim and could face criminal charges. After repeated requests to question Smollett again, police are still waiting. His attorneys say they'll work with investigators. This morning, the actor continues to stand by his story.
And checking traffic, boy, is it busy out there. Be careful out there. Lights on and slow it down. A stall on the Cross Bronx eastbound of the Sheridan Expressway blocks the right lane. Luckily, traffic is fairly light at the Hudson River crossings into and out of the city. Overturned truck on 280 eastbound at 80. Accidents on 78 eastbound at exit 24 at exit 21. 35, please, on the Tappan Zee with your weather. Forecast snow. Probably about 3 inches of snow by the time it's all said and done. Cold tonight, 32. Thursday, partly cloudy and 53. Friday, mostly cloudy and 46. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Your table, ladies.
Thank you so much.
So, Vicky, how have you been?
Great. It's been so long. Last time we saw each other was what? Your daughter's wedding on that yacht? What was it? The Atlantis?
Yes, the Atlantis. It was perfect for the wedding with its three decks, bridal suite, immaculate restrooms, dance floor, and state-of-the-art sound system.
The food and service was great, and I hear they bake those delicious rolls right on board.
They do.
You know, I've been trying to decide what to do for my daughter's Sweet 16 and some corporate events.
You should absolutely book the Atlantis. They do more than just weddings. Sunset cocktail parties, bar and bat mitzvahs, luncheons, and guests are able to board from several locations. Francesca was so easy to work with. Call her at 212-385-9400 or email her at events@franstouchofclass.com.
Charter the Atlantis for your event today. Call Francesca at 212-385-9400 or visit franstouchofclass.com. For a limited time, mention AM970 for a free menu upgrade on the Atlantis.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
At Ace, save on everything you need to take care of your home. Get your coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's right, 25% off on the product of your choice. And only Ace has the brands you love and the advice you trust. So hurry in and get your 25% savings only at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 28th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
She's helped parents do it better since her days at New York One. Now, she helps you hack the parenting code, one tip at a time. Shelley Goldberg and the Parenting Express, exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us. Thank you for being here. And thank you for hanging out with us on Wednesdays where we talk about parenting hacks, how we can help you parent a little bit better. Just one idea per week. That's all. There's not going to be a pop quiz or anything like that. And Shelley Goldberg, formerly of New York One, the parenting reporter there, gladly checks in with us. Shelley, welcome back. I'm feeling badly for everybody today because they've got to get through this weather that's headed our way. And just hope everybody takes that safely home. But you're thinking about toys on this cold day in February.
Yes, and that's because I was at the gift show at the Javits Center about 2 weeks ago and saw thousands and thousands of toys and gifts. And this week, the actual toy fair is going to be at the Javits Center, and there'll be thousands of buyers converging on the Javits Center to pick out the toys parents and grandparents are going to be buying over the next couple of months and years. So I thought, toys, let's talk about how powerful and important those choices are for parents and grandparents.
I love that. So let's do that.
So, Kevin, I can tell you when I think about my own life and toys that I played with.
Yes.
They weren't a heck of a lot, but they were board games and dress-up clothes and dolls. And then my own children, you know, tons of Legos and board games again, but not hundreds of toys.
Right.
So what about you? When
I was a kid, I had the normal amount. You know, I had Star Wars characters and the Slinky and the lots of sports paraphernalia, etc. But I was you mentioned board games. So one of the things that we got the kids at the holidays this year was this. It's called a Boredom Box, and inside the Boredom Box is different game boards and pieces and dice and checkers and stuff that you can use to play like 15 or 20 different individual games, and it's all packed in this one thing called the Boredom Box. Well, my 8-year-old has been begging me of recent to play checkers. It's the most old-fashioned, simple idea of a game, and yet Dad, can we play checkers? Loves bringing it out and doing that. In fact, we've gotten to the point now where I may or may not be telling this out of school. Mom may or may not be secretly, when they're all at school during the day, going into the playroom and may or may not be removing certain things that haven't been touched in certain numbers of weeks, months, or years, and slowly thinning the herd of things that are there just, you know, on the fly. Nobody really knows where they went or why, but we might be guilty of some of that.
That's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea, because there's a great article. I want to thank Joshua Becker for writing this article, Why Fewer Toys Will Benefit Your kids.
What are a couple of the reasons why he says?
Oh, my God, there are a whole bunch of them. Because, look, Kevin, toys are way more than just toys. They teach us about the world. They teach us about ourselves and creativity. So here are some of the reasons. There is actual research that shows that too many toys prevent kids from developing their creativity. Mm. They actually did a study where they removed toys from a kindergarten. And at first, the kids were a little bored. That was stage one. But stage two was they actually became more imaginative and creative in their playing. So there's been research to support this. So that's number one. Number two, kids develop a longer attention span if they have fewer toys, because they're not going to flip from one toy to the next and get bored in 10 seconds. So you're developing a longer attention span with fewer toys. Hmm. Three, kids develop a greater appreciation for the toys that they have when they have fewer toys. Four, kids establish better social skills, because when you have fewer toys, you have to navigate those skill sharing things. You know, you have to get along better with your siblings, your friends, because you're sharing the toys.
Mm-hmm.
Five, kids learn to take better care of things. When there are too many toys, you know, they're less valued, they're less appreciated. Six, kids become more resourceful. They learn how to solve problems with less materials. Seven, I love this one. This is, I think, my favorite. Kids learn to persevere. Because if you have a lot of toys, Kevin, and if you can't figure out how to use that toy, you tend to push it away. You know, I don't understand this. I can't figure it out. Goodbye and good luck. But if you have a few toys, you're going to stick with it until you can figure out how it works or how it's meant to be played with. And then at the end, to wrap this whole thing up, the fewer toys that you have, kids will spend that extra time that they would spend if they had thousands of toys. If they have fewer toys, they're going to spend the additional time being outdoors in nature. They'll spend that additional time reading, painting, with music, but doing all those other wonderful things. So mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, don't feel guilty. You're not always giving them a gift if you walk into their room or the den or the basement and you see thousands of toys. Sometimes you're really doing your kids a disservice.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And friends, if you'd like to re-listen to any of this, check it out, the podcast Parenting Express, part of the Kevin McCullough Universe of Podcasts on SoundCloud and iTunes. Shelley Goldberg, thank you so much. Coming back, it's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Tired of waking up early on a Sunday to listen to Frank Morano, or listening to him to get interrupted by Al Cattullo? If so, you're in luck, because he's now the host of a brand new podcast that you can listen to in the morning or at night or whenever. Catch the Morano Whenever podcast at am970theanswer.com or subscribe to it on iTunes. Just search Morano Whenever.
You're deciding on gifts for people. I've got the perfect idea for anniversaries, birthdays, whatever you can think of. How about the MyPillow 4-pack? I mean, what could be better than giving someone the gift of a great night's sleep, night after night, year after year, for the rest of their life? And right now, Mike Lindell is offering over 50% off on two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows and free shipping. And they're offering their amazing 60-day money-back guarantee to boot. You don't like them, you send them back, no questions asked. Since I started sleeping on my MyPillow about 6 years ago, my life has never been better in the sleep department. I sleep better, deeper, more balanced every single night. And if you haven't tried the MyPillow, you've got to now. Get Mike's four-pack offer, over 50% off, two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows, along with free shipping and their 60-day money-back guarantee on this offer only. Use 800-506-2641 for your special offer, 800-506-2641. Use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code AM970. That's 800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard. Aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down and don't have the energy that you used to, it might be because you just don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. It's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins. In fact, they're not like vitamins at all. Vitamins are synthetics. Balance of Nature is natural food in a vegetarian capsule. Tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and veggies. Each capsule, in fact, has 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. And once you start taking Balance of Nature, you just end up feeling really, really good. People report their skin looks better. They've got fewer aches and pains. They have a lot more energy. It's time to improve the quality of your life. So call now. Call Balance of Nature at 800-246-8751 and use the promo code THEANSWER for 20% off your first month's supply or go to balanceofnature.com. But make sure you use the promo code THEANSWER. Good health is only a phone call away. Call Balance of Nature at 800-246-8751. Use the promo code THEANSWER.
If you're suffering the loss of a loved one or just need guidance, the father-son team of Dan and Matt Lieber can help. The Lieber family has been assisting New Jersey residents for over 100 years by offering expert, caring services with the Volk Lieber Funeral Home in Teaneck and Oradell and the Barrett Funeral Home in Tenafly. And now they've created the Bergen Jewish Chapel, an online funeral arrangement process which eliminates the need for face-to-face meetings. For full disclosure of services, go to BergenJewishChapel.com. That's BergenJewishChapel.com or call 201-261-2255.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I say is it all, oh, oh, always on my road, oh, oh, I'm still New York.
He is New York's most beloved billionaire. Most New Yorkers think he would have been a great mayor. And now, New York's Catman, John Catsimatidis, sits exclusively with Kevin McCullough Radio.
And I think that ICE is right there as a part of it. It has its extrajudicial nature is baked in to the structure of the agency, and that is why they're able to get away with black sites at our border, with the separation of children.
I don't even know what she's talking about half the time. That's AOC. And she was talking about ICE. Interesting story out of Washington today. And welcome, Kevin McCullough Radio. John Catsimatidis back in studio with us. John, always good to see you. Your friend Jerry Nadler is now head of the investigative committee there in the Congress now.
He's a good friend for 35, 40 years. We agree in a few things, but we disagree in a few things.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that's how most people are. But that committee today... There's a story out that now they have passed this piece of legislation out of committee. It's going to go to the House. When it goes to the House, it may pass. I don't know. It probably will for certainly fail in the Senate. But the gist of it is that if an illegal alien goes to buy a gun and fails the background check, which I don't know how an illegal alien could pass a background check, you got to be in the country legally to get a gun, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm just goofy that way. But if they fail the background check, this piece of legislation that that committee passed said, we specifically won't tell ICE. John Katsimatidis, what is up with this?
It's just mind-boggling how in today's world some people are thinking. And I'd love to ask Jerry when he's in the studio later, what is he thinking about? I mean, if he's an illegal alien, why is he buying a gun?
And why should we not at least say, excuse me, he's trying to buy a gun and he doesn't even belong.
It's like those Saudi Arabians that want to take flight tests.
Yeah.
And nobody reported it.
Nobody batted an
eye. Tell me, what is the difference between that and buying a gun?
Well, the gun can inflict less damage, I guess, but certainly just as bad. Anyway, so that's...
It's just mind-boggling. The term of sanctuary cities, I mean, I can go for sanctuary cities to a point where people have not done, they're good people, haven't done anything wrong, but if they're murderers, drug dealers, rapists, I would, you know, get them out of here.
Yeah. Well, you know, our Constitution guarantees citizens the right to bear arms. It doesn't guarantee anyone else the right to bear arms. It just guarantees.
I never thought about
citizens.
It that way, but yeah. I just think it's not right.
If you're visiting and we don't know who you are, maybe you shouldn't own a gun while you're here. That's just the way the founders looked at it. Hey, real quickly, there's this other story. The Hillary email. So there's this new development. And on Twitter, it's being reported that the Hillary Clinton email investigation was so private that the Office of Inspector General, who, of course, did the big report and said who did what and why it was, you know, right or not right, et cetera, the Office of Inspector General didn't have the right security clearance that was needed to even view the emails. John, what was in those emails?
Look, the Clintons are friends of mine, so I'm not going to comment on that, but... Also, Congress asked for those papers, too, and they wouldn't give them to Congress.
They were denied.
Now, I'm going to go back, no matter who the crime was committed, that it goes back to Rod Rosenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Why he's resigning in the middle of March? Because it qualifies him for his pension, I think. And I think a person in the Department of Justice that tried to stage a coup d'etat. That's what it looks like. I mean, I had...
talk, smells.
I had Professor Dershowitz on my show last Sunday, and he wouldn't call it treason, but he would call it a coup d'etat. That...
Well, if you had any other group of people trying to pull this off, that's exactly... If it was the military pulling this off, that's exactly what it would be called.
If it was anybody else putting it off, they'll be in jail for 30 years.
Yeah.
So why is Rod Rosenstein, why are they waiting to the middle of March so he can get his pension instead of throwing him out now?
Well, you know, Andy McCabe tried to do the same thing, and Trump fired him one day short.
Trump did the right thing.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, Rosenstein's going to go one day short, too.
Well, somebody has to do something about it, because it's mind-boggling that we're allowing stuff like that to happen at the upper echelon of our government. Well, you're talking about the top two or three positions at the FBI,
yeah.
The top two positions at the
DOJ,
Department of Justice. I mean, this kind of stuff should not go on, and they don't deserve to get their pension if he was planning to wear a wire against the President of the United States.
Well, you know what was stunning about his interview on Sunday, John, was that McCabe, it was pretty obvious to me that he thought that he believed everything he was saying. What was dumbfounding to me is how absolutely no self-awareness he had about how what he was saying was going to be received by the people of the United States watching the show. You know, you had millions of people in 30 states go and say, this is our president, duly elected. And they were talking about undoing that with the snap of their finger.
60 Minutes gets a large, large audience.
Biggest news magazine on TV.
I mean, you know, even though Channel 2 and 60 Minutes is a Democratic-type station, I still think that they should have thought that was mind-boggling, that the person in the Department of Justice was planning to wear a wire against the President of the United States.
I think there needs to be criminal charges against Rosenstein and McCabe, but we'll get to that. Hey, real quickly, the President's trying to take back this money from California over the bullet train because they decided now they don't want it after they took all the taxpayer dollars.
Well, let's tell our audience. I mean, I can't believe they had a $10 billion budget to run a train from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they woke up one day, and it was going to cost $77 billion? And how much did they spend already?
Well, they've already taken close to $3 billion from the United States taxpayers. So the president wants that back.
When I came from Brooklyn, the word was glom it. They glommed $3 billion.
I think that's a good description of what it was. And then they were like, well, we've lost all of our major companies. We can't pay for this. So now they're, well, we won't do it. Well, you owe us that money back, California.
It's
seriously,
so sad.
Give it back. He's so John Catsimatidis, top of the hour here in New York. He's on AM 970. Don't miss it. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If I had to ask you what you think are going to influence the markets up or down this year, do you know what the answer is? I mean, you would if you listen to Money Monday with my friend David Fisher, who also happens to be the CEO of Landmark Capital. It's the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve are going to cost a lot of people a lot of money this year, or they might make some people some money. The determining factor, in fact, could be as simple as whether or not you own gold. And to help you with that, I don't trust anybody more than Landmark Capital in terms of understanding what my gold is worth, what kind of gold I should be buying, and why it's important to do it at the right time. Gold has been moving up recently, and it is poised in 2019 to make a huge move due to the Fed. Call today, 844-604-2575. And have a discussion, just a discussion, that will start the process. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
The Orange and Louisville clash tonight in the Carrier Dome in a critical ACC matchup. Hi, I'm Matt Park. Join Jim Sadlin and me for Orange pregame at 6:30, tip-off 7 on AM 970, The Answer. New York's radio home for Syracuse University basketball.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I had seen my kidney doctor because I only have one kidney that works. Mm-hmm. And the other one doesn't work at all. And I was pretty close to going on dialysis if it didn't improve. This last visit to my kidney doctor, my kidney it's operating at 21% now. So that's the highest that it's been in the last 8 years. This is really working well for me, and I am so grateful that I found this, that I found you guys.
When you call, use discount code THE ANSWER, and we'll take 20% off any first preferred order of Balance of Nature and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THE ANSWER.
Hi, it's Bagels and Broadway with me, Valerie Smaldone, Saturday mornings at 9. I'll be talking theater, food, nightlife, day life, restaurants, and new food products. Theater, food, wine, what else do you need? AM 970.
Cats at Night with John Catsimatidis is next. Sponsored by the Red Apple Group on AM 970. The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
If you missed any part of today's show, especially the portion with Sean Davis breaking down the legal foundation, the absolute rock solid bedrock that Trump is on to declare a national emergency and to build his wall. And that number that Sean used, that made news to me. I did not know that the account that was non-applied but pre-appropriated was worth $13 billion. That was news to me. And he just did the research for his column, so he just looked that number up. The president may not even know that that's what the number is. I don't know. And then I thought, well, there's $13 billion, and then there's that idea of taking El Chapo's money, which is, $14 billion. Put those two pots together, you got $27 billion. That's what he wanted for the whole thing to begin with. But he can do a lot with just the $8 billion that he's saying he's going to use. And knowing Trump and how, you know, he's a builder, you spend any time with contractors and people that do real estate, you learn a lot. Contractors know how to, they know how to get it done efficiently. Who knows? Maybe he gets the wall done for $8 billion. We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of which, finally today, you know, I was thinking about all the scandals that his predecessors got away with. Obama and Hillary. Let me count them. Uranium One. Benghazi. Remember Solyndra? How about Fast and Furious, the gun-running thing? By the way, Katie Pavlich has a new documentary on Fox Nation that's going to come out on that. IRS targeting. Remember, you know, certain organizations not being given their IRS status? Sending plane loads of cash to Iran. Rigging the primary race against Bernie Sanders. How about illegally storing emails on non-safe hard drives? How about paying for a fake dossier of Oppo research that you then use to get a fake FISA warrant? How about lying under oath? How about spying on a national campaign for president and eventually a president himself, as Andy McCabe said was very much the plan in his 60 Minutes interview? That's a pretty long list. And somehow it is President Trump who sits under investigation. Think on that one for a second. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.